This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
How about doing ENN then?
This is ENN, don't you know?
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends?
That's right.
Oh, no.
I don't know what happened.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on a Wednesday to ENN, which tonight is brought to you by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink a Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer. Help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. I'd personally like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Don't come at me with weak stuff like that.
And then, if possible, I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I've been in the mood for a Whopper for months.
It's a great point by Don. You know what I'm saying?
Almost last night. Almost.
You almost did it?
Yeah. We're in a hurry. We're going to Sesame Place for the kids.
How'd that work out?
It was amazing. They loved it. But the first time we went, we cruised through. Now that it's getting closer to Halloween, it was like an hour backup to get in. And on the way, I was, you know, like, I'd love to get a Whopper here because I didn't have any dinner. But we saw the line. We're like, we better get on. So,
well, let's really tell the story. And Nancy shut it down and said, no, we're getting online.
Is that?
No, I never got to that point. I made the decision.
See?
But if I had pushed it, then she would have said, no, you're getting in line. The Whopper was a dream, let's face it. So we live to fight another day.
I the Whopper I had last week, so great, so delicious. I got to tell you,
three
though,
people be so different.
I tasted Michael. I tasted that original classic chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
or the classic original chicken sandwich.
So you're agreeing with me about something?
It was very good.
But McDonald's very has a nice good chicken sandwich. That buttermilk
like
chicken sandwich.
No,
that's terrific.
No.
This was.
There's nothing like the Burger King original chicken sandwich. It's the best fast food made, better than the Popeye's chicken sandwich, which gets all the love and all the hype. And it's a thirst trap, a suicide rap. This is unbelievable.
I don't think Bruce Springsteen sang about a thirst trap.
I just feel like doing a thirst trap.
So, guys, let's start out with the Seattle Seahawks.
Shall we?
A.K.A. A.O. Seattle. A.K.A. Mr.
Unlimited.
Well, how can somebody argue with me that he's socially awkward? How can that be a conversation?
Mr. Unlimited, maybe even more unlimited. Why? Because the Seahawks are among several teams that are interested in Antonio Ebenezer Brown.
Is that right?
That's right. Can you believe it? Brown's suspension ends after week 8, and the Seahawks are positioned to make a push. However, they're supposedly not alone. Now, both of their quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, a.k.a.
Mr. Unlimited,
and Geno Smith, are both friends with AB and worked out with him during the offseason.
Take care of y'all chicken.
Right. They've remained in touch and talked about the idea of him coming to Seattle. By the way, is Marshawn in the league right now?
No.
Are we ruling out like Marshawn, or is there a chance that come the end of the season he's going to come on board again?
Always a chance.
Always a chance.
Is that
he's
right?
He's got an open invite.
Half Skittles will travel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
that drop is, if it's possible, be underrated. I think that drop.
Do you think there's a chance? Is that right? Is the number one in the nether region?
It's because it's so useful.
So useful. I know. I like now the snoring of earlier today is going to be a conversation in the nether region. And there was another. What was the one last week we said that was sure to be a factor in the nether region? We just had this conversation.
We did.
Like within days. of something that we knew would be a top few seed.
Well, I got to tell you, I can't wait till March.
It's going to be a quiet time.
Don't rush life, Don. Please, don't rush life.
Yeah. He'll start thinking about the movie Click. Before you know it, Michael's weeping. Anyways, guys, the question is, will AB get a chance? My thought would be, if he can keep it together and not come off as completely crazy, he will be on a team down the stretch of the season. I would bet on it. What say you, Michael and Don?
I think somebody will take a chance because teams are foolish and they have very short memories. He's been nothing but trouble since he left Pittsburgh, and he was trouble in Pittsburgh.
I would like to know what the downside is. Give me a downside.
Go ahead, Michael.
You can inject poison into your room, and you hope that you get it out before it kills somebody, but it's not good. Also, they have young receivers there. What are you doing taking away their throws?
I know.
That's not an issue with Seattle.
Listen, they could always use another weapon, right? Look, Kansas City is so dynamic offensively. Bell became available. They went out and got him.
Yeah, but it's really a good idea to put Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown, two combustible players, in the same room.
He walks in the room the second there's a controversy. There's not even a meeting about it. You just, bang, you're cut.
They're going to have to give him more money than you think. Because he's not being paid by anybody else. So the contract he negotiates is going to be a pretty... I wouldn't say it's an over-the-top contract, but he's not going to get minimum wage.
Well, that's a different story. If all of a sudden all these teams are bidding and then it's going to become a problem where cutting him is going to affect me cap-wise, then that would be a problem. But if I'm going to get him for the bare minimum, which I think would be worth it to me, the second he's out of line, and I tell him that. Listen,
I would pay part of his salary if he'd come to the Jets.
See, that
straighten out
sense.
Adam Gase.
That would be the end.
That's why I pay part of his salary, and you know how I love money.
It's rare to see an actual physical dumpster fire.
There will actually be one at Florham Park. There'll be a little dumpster with the Jet logo on it.
They would show a video. They'd be like, now in Florham Park, and you would just see smoke coming out of the stadium. It would be on fire.
And he would not put up with Gase not throwing him the ball. There'd be on-field confrontations. I think, you know what? I pay three-quarters of what the Jets going to pay him.
Well, that's a strong commitment from you. I like it.
Just for the content on the show, I'm paying for content. Because content is king. The fact they go 0-16, that's not content. If they go 0-16 and there are small little dumpster fires all over Florham Park, content.
Well, I got to tell you, they go 0-16, they'll be small little dumpster fires. I mean, there's been several here, and we're only 6 weeks in.
You guys mentioned the Jets.
Sure.
Well, Rex Ryan was on with Bart and Han, and he talked about Trevor Lawrence going number one, the possibility of the Jets or Giants taking him. I am looking at the wrong information. This is a problem.
Peter, I've always wanted to ask you, over your left shoulder, the thing that looks like sunglasses, what is that picture?
Let me answer. Is it something to do with Macho Man?
What are you
over
looking
at? Over your left shoulder. It's a little frame.
With the glasses right here?
Yeah.
Those are... Funny you should ask that. Those would be the sunglasses that Bret Hitman Hart handed out to a kid in the crowd on the night of the most famous match of his entire career, the Montreal Screwjob. There is no value on these glasses. They are quite literally invaluable. He gave out glasses every night to a kid in the crowd. These were given out the night that he had his last match in
WWE. So you stole them from the kid?
I did not steal them from a child. I located them through a famed sunglass dealer in Montreal named Corey Shapiro.
Oh, everybody knows Corey.
At Vintage Frames.
His nickname, Shades.
And he gave these to me. I met this guy, Corey, one day. And a couple of weeks later, I get a package in the mail. And he said, hey, I've been sitting on these forever. I feel like they'd be better off with you than with me.
Wow. And how about Corey?
Seriously, it's unbelievable.
Shade stepping up.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's hear from Roddy White, shall we?
So you're giving up on Rex Ryan.
Yeah, that was, I don't know what's happening with my internet. I pulled up the wrong clips.
Now I feel like I've been
misled.
Yeah, and I enjoy what Rex has to say.
Well, we actually probably already heard this audio, but what you will hear instead is first from Roddy White on The Big Lead.
Is this advice, Rowdy Roddy White?
Not Rowdy Roddy White. That's okay. Rowdy Roddy Piper. But here's Roddy White, his advice for Trevor Lawrence.
If the Jets get the first pick, don't go. Just stay. Just stay one more year in college and just enjoy your time, man. Just enjoy your time in college because it would be awful for you to get drafted by the Jets because they do not know how to put anything together over there. As far as quarterbacking, as far as weapons around the quarterback, as far as anything that has to do with offensive thing, talent, they can draft defensively, and they do a hell of a job on that side of the ball. But as far as offense, man, that team is just bad at picking players.
Very hard to argue with Roddy White there.
You know, how does he know who the coach is going to be?
He doesn't, but he's going back
down,
further.
Roddy.
Well, no. Hold on. When was the last time the Jets had a remarkable offense? I'll wait.
They haven't, but they tried to with an offensive-minded coach now, but not a great mind. Before that, it was defensive-minded coaches.
But that doesn't hurt Roddy White's point.
But I mean, are you saying that it's just endemic in the Jet brand? That it's in the water?
I'm not saying anything. The great wide receiver, Roddy White, is saying that, yes, they just don't do offense here.
That's just ridiculous because things could change with the right hire.
But has it changed?
No, it hasn't. But to say that what they've done in the past is what they'll do in the future, I mean, it's unfair.
Yeah, but
I have no idea.
But I would tell someone, don't go to Washington. They're a complete disaster.
I will tell you this. I would never, ever tell anybody to leave money on the table, ever. But if the Jets get the first pick and they elect to stay with Gase, then I would tell Trevor Lawrence, don't come out.
Right.
Or I would tell the Jets he's not signing with you. So if you take the pick, he's going to sit out a year anyway, and I'll go back into the draft. There's no way that I would play for Adam Gase. No way. That I agree with. But you can't say that they would. What if they go out and they get Jim Harbaugh? We have no idea.
I mean, Michael's right. I mean, it does seem like it's forever, but not everything's forever. I mean, there was a time.
Red Sox couldn't win World Series, right?
Right. Saints fans wore bags on their head, and now they become like a traditional kind of winning team. Patriots were going nowhere.
Giants
and now they become the gold standard.
Planes flying over the stadium, burning tickets, and they've won four Super Bowls since then. So that I hate that stuff when, they haven't won this and this and this many years. But that's against teams that don't exist anymore. Rich Kotite's not a Jet coach. They did pretty well when Bill Parcells was here. Yeah. They're still the Jets. They did pretty well.
Now, if you wanted to go to the direction of the owner, like the Johnsons never win anything or something, that might be a different story. But again, nobody was saying that when they went to back-to-back championship games in 2009 and 2010, right?
But that's why his argument's pretty sound, because even during those championship years, it still wasn't a place regarded for great offense.
I have a great ENN story, if I
could.
Go
ahead. We'll be the judge.
It's a rating story.
Ooh, I love ratings.
So Andrew Marchand tweeted this out. Who had the higher rating, Don and Peter? Fox's World Series Game 1 or ABC's NBA Finals Game 1?
Well, considering you're bringing it up, I would say Game 1 of the baseball.
Yeah, I actually think momentum-wise, just when you think about the conversation around it, I think there's more conversation about this World Series.
Fox's World Series Game 1 outrated ABC's NBA Finals Game 1 by 21%. World Series Game 1, 9,195,000. NBA Finals Game 1, 7,576,000.
Again, not numbers to write home about for either one.
See, but you always say, last year's World Series, okay? Do you remember who was in it?
That was the Nationals.
The Nationals and the Astros.
Fox won the week. Nobody came close. So it's a different universe. You can't compare everything to football. Baseball is still a property that everybody wants.
No, they won
the week and a half during the World Series by a lot. No other broadcast network came close. So that's that's got to be good enough.
No, I
understand World Series getting 50 million viewers. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over.
No,
but still being a valuable TV property, it's not over.
So what do you say to that, Don?
No, but because we're talking about the NBA Finals being in the tank at 7 million. You know, the World Series at 9, I think they would still like that to be better, even though that might have won that won the week last year. I mean, this year, I don't know what it beat or what it was going up against last night. But, you know, tonight will be interesting because we're starting to see some shows come on. I think, you know, ABC's got their shows. The Connors start tonight. And
that's still going on, huh?
Shows like that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's still going on.
But
is that right?
My point is, Michael, yeah, it's winning the week, but I still think that for the World Series and the NBA Finals to get similar numbers, and people were just openly making fun of the NBA Finals for getting 7 million, 5 million, some of them, that I think everybody would like to be doing a little better. But still, for it to do better than the NBA, that's a good sign, right? Overall.
I think you got to feel good about that.
And I think the NBA's got to be wondering, all right, what are we doing wrong? And now the question becomes, is it the politics or is it the time of the year? Because at least the World Series is happening in October. We're used to that. Were the numbers down for the NBA because it was being played in September and early October?
I think you feel good. You guys just... you guys just mentioned Jim Harbaugh and the possibility of him returning to the NFL. Well, here's Keyshawn Johnson on with Greeny earlier talking about that very possibility.
Here's a guy with 2 years left on his contract. He's the only Power 5 coach in America with a contract that basically has 1 year left on it because the other year is a throwaway year. You become a lame duck. He failed at winning a Super Bowl, although he got there. He was a successful NFL head coach with unfinished business. He's flirted with the Chicago Bear job, the Indianapolis Colts possibilities over the last several years. Here we are in New York that potentially could have an opening with the New York Jets. There's an opening in Atlanta. There could potentially, maybe, depending on how Dallas' season unravels, an opening in Dallas Cowboy country. Now, see, the Jets, I don't part ways with Joe Douglas. I get them to work together. If they're the Dallas Cowboys, I'll let him help do whatever it is so I can get a guy who knows what the hell he's doing.
Listen, I like Keyshawn, but I don't know where he's coming from. Dallas is going to fire Mike McCarthy. He just gave him a 5-year deal. He makes about $5 or $6 million a year. Jerry Jones is never relinquishing any kind of power when it comes to player decisions, acquisitions. Why would Harbaugh go anywhere where he doesn't call every shot? And Keyshawn talks about unfinished business in the NFL. How about unfinished businesses at his alma mater? Alma mater. He's done nothing at Michigan. That's where he went. He came there to win them a championship. Even a Big Ten championship, he can't do that. He's just going to bail on them? I don't get the doubt. There's no way Dallas is firing Mike McCarthy. And why would he go to the Jets with Joe Douglas there, who has 4 more years left on his deal after this year? That's pie in the sky stuff. The only way you get Harbaugh to come to New York is to say, Joe, thanks, but Jim's going to run everything.
And that'll never happen in Dallas. Right?
No. No way.
I can't imagine that.
But I think it's an interesting question with Jim Harbaugh because we all talked about, like, what's next? What do the Jets do?
You know, Don,
that's an intriguing name. That's something where you say, you know what? Because that's what a similar thing when they fired Kotite. You brought in Parcells. All right?
Don, now, that's amazing that you just said, what do the Jets do? Because Joe Namath was on the Jake Ansman show. Exactly. And he was asked, should the Jets take Lawrence?
It'd be hard to pass on Lawrence, I tell you. He's just a marvelous player and has been the last few years. Everything about him is his passing ability, his movement, his habit of winning. You know, he's a monster. whoever is going to have a chance to get him will probably take him. First of all, if it did end up being our guys, our team, Joe Douglas, who's there now, they'll make that decision because there's a lot of teams. There's 31 other teams out there, and Sam Darnold can play for several of them. So he may be somewhere else starting if that scenario did unfold.
Mm. It's Joe.
I don't think there's any question that he's a talent.
Joe?
Oh, well, one of the best.
It's insulting to even debate it. But I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence, but what do you do with Sam? If Mike Tannenbaum is correct and you're getting like a second-round pick for Sam, you know, it's starting over. But I guess you're starting over anyway with a new coach, so I don't know. By the way,
I know this sounds crazy. Next year, based on what they have here, guys, even with Gase, it's practically starting over. What have they done? Unless something changes a lot over the next 10 games, what will be in place that even if you trot back out Sam, you feel like you're not in year one of a rebuild? Roll the dice with the kid and hope that Trevor Lawrence is such a ridiculous stud that it changes everything.
Well, like I said earlier in the week, the only way Adam Gase saves his job is he convinced Chris Johnson that he was tanking. And if you're convinced he was tanking, then that means you tanked for the quarterback, and they'll take the quarterback and move on. The only way that doesn't happen is if Gase's agent tells him, Lawrence's agent tells him, if Gase is there, we're not going.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Speaking of football teams who absolutely know what they're doing, the word is there's a good chance that Washington will remain without a nickname next season. New team president Jason Wright told WJLA in Washington on Tuesday that there's a good chance they will move forward with just Washington football team next year.
Yeah, and part of the explanation is that there's a lot that goes into it other than saying, okay, we're the Washington whatever. You know, you got to have uniform changes, logo changes, registration, all of that stuff. It's not an easy thing to do that you could snap your fingers and do it.
Right.
And I'm sure that during this time where there's so many troubling things going on in the world, that probably hasn't been job one because they've had a lot of stuff going on with that organization as well. So I think they're a little bit far behind. And you know what? Washington football team doesn't stink is a name.
No, it's awful. And if you go to their website, it almost looks like it's put together by children. And it's not really their fault because it's just, again, there's no logo. And just the way some things are, right? Peter brought this up about like a month ago where it just says Giants versus football team. Like just because the way that some websites are like structured is that they take the nickname instead of the city name. And so the nickname is football team. So how does that look if you go, let's check out the standings or whatever, and it says football team?
That part's not my favorite.
And you know what? That's also debatable whether it's a football team.
So come up with a name, get it trademarked, and then they can go with the W and the burgundy or whatever, but at least have the nickname so that we can refer to them as something. And then when you get all your ducks in a row for the jerseys and the helmet, then you do that. So why can't next year they be the Red Tails but still have the W on their helmet?
You know what? That's a great point by Don. You could keep everything the same and just announce the name.
My sneaking suspicion is that Snyder is waiting for the world to be less fiery and inflamed, and then he's going to go back. I'm going to call it the Redskins.
No, stop. Stop.
By the way, just doing some investigation, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The game won last night, Dodgers-Rays, was the least watched World Series game ever.
Yeah.
I know.
And it still beat the NBA Finals.
Right, but I'm saying all my argument was I think MLB was hoping to do a better number, especially when you have the Dodgers.
Well, the one thing I found with the World Series, it's like a reality show. It's got to build up storylines. If it's over in five games, it's going to be a lower rated World Series.
And also, I'm sorry, it's a regional sport that needs two teams that are compelling, and the Rays are not compelling. It was the last time they were under 10 million viewership was Game 3 Rays Phillies in 2008. Again, the Rays don't have a huge fan base. There's not a star on the team that anybody could recognize, unless you're a diehard baseball fan, right? Well, believe me, if you had Dodgers, Yankees, Michael, what's the number?
I don't know.
15, 16?
You know what? You would think so, but the Mets, everybody always thought the Mets and the Yankees did not get a great number.
Well, because I think there was Yankee fatigue. The Yankees were in the World Series for a third consecutive year. It was New York. It's still a regional sport. So how are you going to get the nation captivated by two New York teams playing each other? You get Yankees and Dodgers, the two coasts playing each other. That's probably the best. That's the dream scenario for baseball, right? To get Dodgers, Yankees. Two of the most popular teams in the sport play each other, get the two coasts involved, number one television market, number two television market. But listen, it's the same thing in the NHL. I'm sorry. You get Lightning Stars, you're not going to get a number. You get Blackhawks Bruins, you're going to get a number.
We spent a lot of time talking about how bad baseball looked before this whole season started and the back and forth between the union and ownership. Is it possible this is just that bearing out?
Yeah, but they got a great number for Game 7 of the NLCS. Great number.
What was that number?
About 10 million fans. That's pretty good.
For
that's
what?
The same number almost.
For Game 7.
Game 7s are, like you said, it's Game 1.
You know, Don, you mentioned the site looking like it's made by children for watching
did
football.
You see it?
And I went there, but guess what? Now I'm tempted to buy something, and I'd been saying I'm not going to fall for the trap and buy something stupid Washington football. But I see this like knitted winter hat, and it's the colors that I love with the logo. And instead of it saying this offensive term, it says Washington football. And I go, well, how do I not support this?
I just feel like doing a thirst trap.
Exactly. I feel like I need to get it now. Do you think that's bad?
But again, it was so strange when I went to the website because I wanted to see something with their roster. And because there's no name and there's no logo, it's weird.
It's a strange time. There's no doubt about that.
Now, Mike McCarthy of
the Cowboys?
Front Office Sports.
Okay.
Said Fox Sports says its telecast of Game 1 of Dodgers Rays World Series averaged 9.5 million viewers across Big Fox, Fox Deportes, and streaming. It was the most watched TV show of the day on any network, leading Fox to a primetime win. The linear TV audience on Fox averaged 9.2 million. But as Don noted, those numbers also made it the least watched World Series game ever. As post-pandemic TV sports numbers continue to crater.
I think that's the overall point, is you're going to start, with the exception of football, that numbers, they're not going to be the same as they were before. Like you said, Michael, there was a time, a lot. It didn't matter who played.
I think in 1980, the 1980 World Series, 50 million people watched one of the games. Never happening again.
Anything. I remember reading... you'll laugh at me, but Rob Lowe's written two books. I read both of them. Rob Lowe was in I forget what the name of the sitcom
was. Have you read
his
Atkins diet stuff? I mean, that's good, too.
No. I forget what the name of the sitcom. He was in a sitcom in 1979. It ran like 9 episodes, and they canceled it in the middle of the season. Got awful ratings. The ratings that it got in 1979, it would be number one today. So something that would get you canceled after 9 episodes 40 years ago, you'd be number one today.
Question. In a Rob Lowe book, are there a lot of pictures?
Because he's so good looking.
I would have a lot of pictures.
It's the standard number of pictures in the middle.
So
of the
I'm
book.
Wondering, are you the type of reader? Because I am.
This is big. Do you skip to the pictures?
Do you skip and look at the pictures before you read any print?
No, I look at the pictures. This is a mistake by me, but it's just a habit. I look at the pictures and read the captions when I get to that part of the book.
That's crazy.
I should wait till the end of the book.
But no. You should do it at the beginning because sometimes the pictures come in the middle of a paragraph. So you stop reading that paragraph to look at the pictures at that point?
No, I will, because it's funny. I never, you know, I got to like read the end of the paragraph on the next page before I stop. So I will read the next page, get to the end, and then go back to the
pictures. Very sloppy, especially most of your reading is done in the bathroom, too. It's not a good look.
No, most of it's in bed.
Guys, that'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday.
I got to be honest with you. We're nothing but honest with you. I think the lack of Rex audio really hurt today.
Really?
Yeah. I think you got an A+, but you dropped to a B+ because there was no Rex.
I don't point fingers because it's nobody's fault but my own. Because otherwise I would just be pointing a finger at the internet, and I'm not going to do that. So I got to do a better job, and that's that.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.